Haridas Abali. Colin Haridas. Prabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dake. Calls. Gana Gana. Repeatedly. Dure Rahi. Standing at a distance. Haridasa. Thakur Haridas. Kari Navidana. Submitted. So do we normally do word for word? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was repeatedly calling Haridasa. Haridasa. And at that time, Haridasa, standing at a distance, spoke as follows. Bhakta Sange Prabhu Karuna Prasada Angikara E Sange Vasite Yoga Nahi Munichara. Haridas Thakur said, let Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take his lunch with the devotees. Since I am abominable, I cannot sit down among you. Pache more prasada govinda dibe bahir dwari mana jani prabhu puna na balila tanre. Govinda will give me prasada later outside the door. Understanding his mind, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not call him again. Swarupa Gosai Jagadananda Damodara Kasidvara Gopinath Vininata Sankara Pariveshana Kari Tahan E Santa Jana Madhye Madhye Haridwani Kari Bhakta Gana. Swarup Damodara Goswami Jagadananda Damodara Pandit Kasivara, Gopinatha, Vaninath, and Shankara distributed prasadam, and the devotees chanted the holy names at intervals. Weeks ago, and it didn't dawn upon me until I was driving back, but the pastime was speaking about how the devotees understood the mind of the Lord, and how they rested together at the Gundicha temple. And this whole pastime, brought up a similar experience that being with Prabhupada in the same way in India. And engaging his service with all the group, with all the devotees. And one particular time we were engaged in a big service and preaching. After a period, we all went to a big room like this, about this size, and we all were taking rest. And I forgot what it's called, but in India, you know, sometimes they have the big giant pillars.
Bolsters.
Is it bolsters? There's the big round pillars.
Oh. Clay one?
The big round pillar. Like this.
Pillows. Yeah,
bolsters. Yeah. So they were huge. So, you could sit back right there. So they set up this room, like about the size of this, and along the sides, there was this huge, giant bolster, so you could kind of sit back like this, and put your leg up on one, and everything like that. So we were all sitting there, and then we all took prasadam together with Prabhupada, and got prasadam, and we're all lined up around the room. We were lying back resting. And Prabhupada, he understood our minds. He understood Prabhupada's mind. And then Prabhupada, he leaned back. And he said, "So, this is real yoga." Pulina Bhojana Krishna Purveya Chekaila Selila Mahaprabhu Manismara Haila. Lord Shri Krishna had previously taken his lunch in the forest, and that very pastime was remembered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yadyapi Primavesha Prabhu Haila Astira Samaya Bhuya Prabhu Haila Kichudira. Just by remembering the pastime of Lord Sri Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was agitated by ecstatic love. But considering the time and circumstance, he remained somewhat patient. Prabhu kahe mora deha lapra vyajana pita pana amrita gutika deha bhaktagana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You can give me the ordinary vegetables known as lapra vyajana. And you may deliver to all the devotees better preparations like cake, sweet rice, and amrita bhutika." Purport. Lapra vyajana is a combination of several green vegetables all mixed together. It is often mixed with rice and delivered to poor men. Amrita gutika is a preparation of thick puri mixed with condensed milk. It is also known as amrita rasavali. Has anyone ever had this? You've had it?
Okay, I've never
had it. Sarvagya prabha jana yare yai bayo Tanare Tanare Se Doiyaya Swarupa Dwaraya. Since Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is omniscient, he knew what types of preparation each person liked. He therefore had Swarupa Damodara deliver these preparations to each devotee to his full satisfaction. So this is the very important distinction here in Krishna consciousness and Mayavada philosophy. We're all individuals and we have different tastes. Krishna is a supreme individual, so he has different tastes too. But the Mayavadis, they want us all to be one. So we all have the same taste, same ideas, same experience. There's no opportunity for the variety and to experience the pleasure of the differentiation of that variety, and understanding that each and every individual person has a unique, unlimited dimension of experience, and the Lord understands that. So the Lord is able to fulfill each and every desire of a devotee in such a wonderful way. And by doing so, each and every other devotee never feels that there is some lack. It's such a beautiful philosophical concept, this multidimensional experience. And for us as individuals, also is so wonderful and enriching. It's such a beautiful, broad, social, also engineering concept, you know, that there's no lack in the experience or the opportunity for each and every devotee to engage in unlimited amounts of service. It doesn't mean that because, you know, that I have this particular inclination and you have that particular inclination that we have to have some competition or conflict. But there's so much opportunity for each and every one of us to serve in an unlimited way. And this is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. So the Lord understood this, and He was able to satisfy each and every devotee's desire. It's such a beautiful idea, especially compared to the dry concept that we're all one.
Why is that so popular now? Like Kim and I were talking this morning about the yoga philosophies, like the asana, and how pretty much all of them teach that we're all one. Mm-hmm. In the Jivamukti style, you know, Sharingan and all those writings, but still they teach that we're all one. Mm-hmm. Why is that so popular right now?
There's a couple of reasons. One reason is that because it's the beginning stage of spiritual understanding, is to understand that yes, we're all one spiritually. It's like we're all most of us in America. I mean, even if we're visitors here, we're still American. So we're all American. But some of us are Bengali American, some of us are Massachusetts American, that, you know, Californian American, you know, visiting American. But once you're here, you're American. You know. So it's just that basically it's that entry idea. You know, it's the entry that to first, you know, when you come here or you live here, that's the first point that we must first accept that we're all American. We're the Democrat, Republican, Socialist, or we're all American. So that's the first idea. Now after that, then that gives us permission to understand our variegateness. So that's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is that they're not privy to the transcendental concept because of the lack of the relationship with the Lord. There may be so many things that that you have in your life and so many experiences, and you know, I know you indirectly, but I don't know those personal experiences because of the lack of the privilege of the intimacy. So once we have the privilege of the intimacy with the Lord, then we can see the variegatedness and the difference. We see how the Lord is operating in so many varieties and infinite ways. And there are three or four other different ideas, but those two are some of the predominant reasons. A lack of qualification of intimacy, and is the beginning stage of entry into the spiritual practice.
So when people say, I believe that we're all one, or that we, you know, the goal is to be one with everything, we can just say that...
If we have to say something, we, you know, it depends on the, you know, how much access. Just like here, you see the Lord, He understands the mindset of, so He's entered into the mindset according to that level. So in the same way, according to their, you know, the opportunity that the person provides to us, you know, we can say certain things. Otherwise, if they don't give us an opportunity, we can say, Jai, thank you, Haribo, yes, welcome to the kingdom. That might be enough for now.
Yeah, it's like, because we're simultaneously one and different, so we get from one part, and getting that sense of unity is kind of a more goodness thing, and it can make you feel really good, that, you know, we're all one family, or whatever. But I think there's also a fear. There's a fear of relationships, fear, you know, or else, you know, there's the logical mind gets in the way, like, it all comes down to the person, so, you know, that, so... those are a few of the things that might put people off.
Yeah, there's a lot of, reasoning. People are conditioned to think like that. And sometimes it's an opposite effect of, the norm of being in competitive. But also, one of the root psychic underlying issues is that there's a lack of education in relational theory and relational engagement. We all know that relationships are valuable, but we haven't been educated in the different theoretical dynamics of interpersonal of behavior. So we're fooled and we're ignorant about it. So a good way to cover our ignorance is just to say, okay, well, let's just try to get it out. But still that doesn't work because there has to be some type of operational engagement.
That's so interesting. So in a sense, one of our big services is to teach relationship.
Yes.
The ultimate relationship with Krishna, but also relationship with each other, relationship with Guru.
Relationship.
When you think about what we do as teachers or what a bhakti yoga would teach, it's relationship people.
Yes, actually. Exactly. That's one of the biggest fields.
Isn't that your PhD in that?
That's part of the, structure, yeah. But in this relationship with the, with the humans, relationship with the cows, relationship with the environment, relationship with the cosmos. And Krishna, the whole Bhagavad Gita is about this idea of interdependence between one entity and the other entities. So that science is a very elaborate science. It's not just something that we can take lightly. And actually this whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is, especially this part, we see how the Lord is exemplifying the science. And part of our success in spreading the glories of the Lord is to let people know that we are experts in this subject matter. Because everybody now is pretty much they're going to the non-experts. The people who are expert, basically experts on a mental level. Whereas the devotees are, we're being trained to become expert on the level of the heart, which is the deepest part of relational engagement. So we have a tremendous opportunity for influencing the movement of the universe in that kind of way. Just like we can see practically, right now. There's just like our leader, commander-in-chief. People will think that, people advertise that, he has no feelings. But he has to have feelings, right? He's a human being. He has a family, he has children, he has loved ones. So we all have feelings. We all have relational dealings. So the science is that we have to understand that how different feelings move in different ways. So this is how it says that Lord Chaitanya, he understood the needs and the moods of each and every particular person. I'm going to read this verse again. 168. Since Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is omniscient, he knew what types of preparations each person liked. He therefore has Swarupa Damodar deliver these preparations to each devotee to his full satisfaction. Let's see how the Lord's interaction with us. That's what this whole idea of bhakti and prema is about. You know, enter into this dynamic experience of loving relationship with the Lord. And the Lord, He knows each and every one of us, each individually. Otherwise, how is it? Why would we even pray to Him? You know, if He doesn't, why would I even waste time asking Him to take care of what I need? Because He knows exactly what I need, what you need, what we all, and He's expert at fulfilling. You know, that's what every religion says, that God is going to take care of you. So this whole, this dynamic of the relationship science is a tremendous potential field of engagement for practitioners of Krishna consciousness. It sets us apart from all the other theological experts, psychological experts, etc. Because of this knowledge that has been handed down to us, all we have to do is really study it in detail and really develop it and expand upon it. And this is just so wonderful, it's so fantastic. Did that kind of explain?
Seems to me if we spoke that language, if we understood that a little bit more about how to help people engage in that relationship, because oftentimes we or a lot of religions will come across as being, you know, fearful or surrender or, you know, this kind of punitive idea instead of, you know, it's relationship. I mean, success is successful relationships like that, and if that could be more, if we could get that more and, you know, preach that more instead of, you see what I say?
Yes, that's we have to sometimes decide what our marketing priorities are. And at a certain time, certain to the need, that's the whole idea of the relationship. If we look at it on a broader, systematic level too at the same time, sometimes there might be a need for us to market ourselves as the moralist. The coming of maybe a Parsuram or something to chop off the head of the demon. That's the need at that time. So we have to see what the need in the marketplace is, and that's what we want to, how we want to be successful. Otherwise, if you go to the marketplace and nobody's trying to buy what you have, then what is...
Make sense. You're fools and rascals. You don't just realize what you have. All your problems.
You have to try to fake it, you know, and make up something that's not. But the real thing is that actually the whole world is trying to figure out. That's just like I was given the idea, you know, people are confused. They don't know how to relate to our commander in chief. Mm-hmm. That's basically it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he's written a book, The Art of Making a Deal. So he's all about relationship, he's all about making deals. But some people say, well, no, we don't want to make a deal with you. So that doesn't give the chance to relate to you. So Krishna is very expert. You see, Krishna knows each and every one of us of our inclinations and our needs, and He relates to us. That's why He says, all of them, if they surrender unto Me, I reward accordingly. So He knows, you know, when we surrender unto Him, He knows how to return the favor back. In exchange. Does that make sense?
You give the example of the commander in chief, and of course that could be a whole lot of other talk about difficult relationships.
This conflict, yeah.
Because the tone of a certain party of the relationship can really not nurture or nourish this idea of relationship. At least what's coming there is like my way or the highway, and the way I want to relate with you is that, you know, what I say goes. So it's interesting, just in life we deal with that difficult people that we have to relate to, but that aren't very...
Well, that's all part of the relationship science. You know, that's all part of the scientific aspect of the relationship. You know, just like mathematics is a very vast field. It's not just 1, 2, 3. You know, there's geometry, trigonometry, theoretical concepts and ideas and all this. So this, the whole science of relationship is a very, very vast process of understanding. So it's not just simply that how we get along, but it's what we have to, you know, to do, having our definitions of what we're doing, what our purpose is and everything. So it's there. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ultimately, he's a master of all, you know, in this, this world. He came to show us and prepare us, because, you know, this whole unique thing about this is that unless we become expert in our relational science, how are we going to relate to this person who is creating all these big mountains, floating planets in space, growing grass out of earth, you know, out of a little tiny seed? How are we going to relate to that individual? It is, I mean, you talk about it, it seems like my way or the highway. If we don't have the skill, how are we going to relate to Krishna? You know, Krishna has so many things going on. It's practically impossible for us to even have a conversation with him. What are we going to say? We won't even have any language to speak. And sometimes it was like that being with Prabhupada. You can just imagine, if you just think a minute, Prabhupada, just in a brief minute. Prabhupada, an elderly gentleman, thousands of disciples, every day writing letters, handling millions of dollars, being transacted, dealing with thousands of personal problems, translating books every single day. Sometimes, like that's why sometimes you'll hear stories of devotees, they would have a problem. And they would go in there, and I had this personal experience, they would go to Prabhupada, and as soon as you would be in Prabhupada's presence, you would think,
I don't have a problem.
I don't have a problem. You would see the Prabhupada, he would be doing things that, even though he was in ecstasy, sometimes you would stop in your mind, you would say, no, I can take care of this. Let me do what I gotta do. So, you know, that relationship automatically, that one quality relationship was that, you know, was discretion. We had the discretion. We had the respect. So all these things come out, and we're starting to become trained to know when to apply each quality and how to apply it and how it should work. So that was verse, we just finished with verse number 168.
Is it Chaitanya Charitamrita?
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya. 12, 1, we just finished with 168. So even this verse, if we take this and just meditate on this for throughout the day, it'll expand our concept of relationship building.